Hello again, Perf Bites listeners. It's Lucifer here, giving a big shout out to my good friends Mark and James for their continued coverage of the worldwide IT disasters and outages. There are times when I wish I could take credit for all those impressive crashes of ticket websites in the UK, Indian Airline sales promotions, aging rock and roll hipsters, and student test results. That one always gets me, because you know it's just that static content that they could cache in the CDN, right, dude? Come on. Anyway, love the work you guys are doing. Don't forget to send a pair of those Perf Bites shoes right after this week's edition of The News of the Damned.
Can you dig it?
And seriously, can we get that guy? You kind of think he needs like his Band-Aid or some, maybe a little bacitracin, some Band-Aid. Howard, get some Neosporin. We can get that guy.
How about some Mercurochrome?
Mercurochrome?
Oh, Mercurochrome. How about an iodine? That would be even better.
Well, yeah, just pour it right on there, right on the open wound. That'll help.
Oh, yeah.
Won't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly.
Clean that baby right out.
Clean that baby right out. Perfect. All right, News of the Damned. Let's just keep things rolling here, James. We've actually got quite a number of interesting political, international. We got some repeat offenders, and of course, our good friends in the UK are up to their old tricks. They never let us down.
You know, Mark, one came to us today from Scott Moore, Perf Bidean Scott Moore.
Yes.
About Seymour Hersh's new article on what really happened during the Osama bin Laden raid.
Yes, yes.
And
the whole Zero Dark 30 movie was made on this, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
So is Zero Dark 30 correct? Is it disinformation?
Pure
is it propaganda?
Fiction? Yeah,
exactly. We don't know.
Yeah.
So, but whether, you know, no matter what side of the political spectrum you fall on this one,
yeah,
boy, there's a lot of interest.
Huge amount of interest.
And not just one website, but several websites were impacted by reviews of this book by Seymour Hersh. And if you're not familiar with his background, his background goes all the way back to Vietnam, talking about the My Lai massacre.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
So he's got a lot of awards, a lot of great press credentials, a lot of great journalistic background for discovery and writing. So this is going to be a political game changer in the United States one way or the other.
Yeah.
And I think that interest and people just swarming websites to look at the reviews or to get to the material is what did it. And in this case, so this is a classical example of what happens when something outside of your control, as a news site or a book review site or something, it suddenly catches fire, and then you have people swarming your site to get information. It's nothing that you've done. It's nothing that maybe you've seen before. It's all of a sudden just topic catches fire, and you're the target.
Yeah. So the they flooded the London Review of Books. That was it's a special website called the lrb.co.uk, and they're just hitting this. What is the equivalent of his write up? It's kind of an op-ed piece, but I mean, from him, it's actually an in-depth research of the subject, which goes on for, I mean, it's got to be a total of maybe 10, 12 or 15 pages, right? But it's amazingly well-written. I'm going to throw it into GT Metrics here. But James, did you do any research on what he's got there, you know, in the with the LRB site, with the first of many that are going to crash on this?
Well, it is the first of many, and we saw extremely high load over on HuffPo, which I think it also referenced it.
So maybe a little slash dot effect, maybe.
Exactly, and a few other sites as well. Yeah. So this thing, whatever it is, whatever Seymour Hersh has found, it's got interest for sure. Does it have legs? Well, you know, I guess we got to just wait and see.
I tell you, this is a first when we're looking at both page speed and Y-slow. The LRB site, got 97% on both. They got straight A's, and they still went down. So this is an interesting finding. If you can get all of your website, I mean, again, this is after they had a crash, right?
Yep.
So maybe these are fixes.
They could have tuned it. They could have taken the time to tune it up.
Especially if it was simple stuff. So good on them.
Well, even if they were to add a CDN, it would have taken 72 hours for everything to propagate.
Yeah.
And this just happened today.
Yeah.
So it would be difficult for them to actually re-engineer, particularly a book review website.
Yeah.
These things are not sites that are highly dynamic in nature.
So what I'm hearing here is they really were prepared. It's just this was such an extreme outlier that maybe no one ever could have even predicted it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so.
I mean, or the other thing that happens here is that they're so sensitive in the UK now of being on the news of the damned that all of their websites actually give just a static site back to GT Metrics.
They may have
filtered and redirected me to another site that says, shove off, Mark, and you guys are awful. We hate you. And that only takes a few seconds to render and get straight A's.
Well, we have been talking about conspiracy theories with this anyway, so that could be very apropos.
It could be. That's a very good point. All right. So that's that in the UK. Thanks. We've not gone yet on the News of the Damned in 2015 without the UK. So good on you. But to everyone else, the London Book Review, go check out the techniques on their site, because that's a really great looking site from a front end performance perspective. Again, the back end may have some limitations or something like that, but mostly that article is static content. It should be 100% cached.
One would hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So next is this kind of continuation of a problem that we've been seeing with end of year school testing for the last couple of months.
Yes.
Except in this case, instead of being a primary or secondary school, middle school or high school, it is a law school. So this is a law school exam website crashes during finals. So, and this was at Rutgers. So students are supposed to come in, start an exam at 10 o'clock in the morning, download the exam, and then get started. So here we have a classical example of highly synchronous behavior. And we're seeing this on these other exams that are taken as well, where you have a whole bunch of activity which is nearly identical occurring in very, very short duration or very, very short proximity to each other. And this is actually very different than a natural web population type of behavior. Natural web populations are what we would call chaotic.
Right.
In nature. People arrive, they're on the site or page for a random period of time, then they move on or they depart. Here with an exam, if you're going through questions 1 through 42 after you download it, you come in, you download, you go to question 1, everyone goes to question 1. You go to question 2, everybody goes to question 2. So this highly synchronous behavior is actually changing the nature of how these solutions need to be engineered.
I would give this company an F. Because really, you know how many people are going to take the damn test. You have the data. You'd have your load profiles. How the hell could you not have tested for it?
Oh, I would agree that there are very few excuses for not understanding load in this case, because you know your maximum amount of tolerance for a class. You know your maximum number of students that are taking an exam at any given time. You know what the exam download item looks like. You know load coming back. So there are really no excuses for not testing, except maybe they were using students for testing, which once they graduate, they'll be developers who test.
Maybe they're using the law students to test with.
Well, arguably, they are certainly doing that during exam period right now.
A live production test. Arguably with a lawyer.
Yes, yes. So, but I think it's good to bring this up, that the structural nature of the load changes the engineering challenges required to support the load. So in the case of a chaotic environment, your average usage of a resource is actually quite low per user for any given period of time. In a highly synchronous environment, that watermark for how many resources are being used at any given time is actually quite a bit higher, and your potential for resource exhaustion is actually quite a bit higher as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I think in this situation with Rutgers anyway, you know, they had apparently some hacking and some other stuff, so maybe they put some overzealous blocking and throttling and stuff to control traffic and different things, and it actually was a little overzealous. But one of the quotes from the article on Above the Law was saying, you know, when we checked in with the schools before, we mused that they should call the whole thing off and just use Blue Books.
And you know what? I really think Scantron? They're going to come back, yeah. Because those fill in the bubbles. It works.
No, on the last news of the damned, we're talking about the origins of the number two pencil.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, I think there could be a real comeback for those guys. But this is one where, again, we're not talking about a huge amount of traffic internally. It's an internal, it required internet connectivity. So somewhere behind the scenes there, it could be a Pearson, could be another publishing, another partner that they're using for the test to be delivered. So it was internet-based.
It is most likely another partner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, the internet was on the fritz for Rutgers Camden. Maybe somebody can sue the provider.
Oh!
Come on, litigious society. At least these kids could learn it firsthand.
Oh, come on, that's awesome. Yeah.
And they'll discover there was no service level agreement in the contract.
Maybe that could be part of the practical exam. They could have the student sue the provider now.
Yeah, so here's a shout out to all the law students. If you're ever writing a contract with a response time SLA, actually put a number and not just, it should be faster than it's been before, at least not slower than it's ever been before. It should be the same or faster.
Was that before there were dinosaurs?
Well, that's before, I don't know, but apparently that was kind of a sissy, stupid voice. The high voice always seems kind of, I don't know.
So Mark, the next one you picked up, I actually missed it, and it's in this political season that we're in, associated with people declaring that they're going to run for emperor or something.
Declaring for emperor. Now, recently, I think we had talked about Marco Rubio had some issues with his website when it got launched.
Yes.
This one is Michael Huckabee, also candidate for president. Now, Mr. Huckabee is not, he used to be governor, I believe, right? And so he's former
governor of Arkansas.
That's right.
And he's also a man from Hope. So I think there have been two men from Hope that have been Arkansas's, and at least one more hopes to be president.
Wasn't he on TV too? Didn't he play like the lead? Didn't he play like a DA on Law and Order or something?
Yeah. Or I thought he was in Matlock. Or he was in.
No.
Andy Griffin? It was Andy Griffin.
Andy Griffith?
Andy Griffith. Sorry. Yes.
He must have been a young lad at that point.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Adam, just kidding. But as a Southerner, now
Was he Otis the drunk?
Well, this is a really interesting one. Now, let's say this is the tip of the iceberg, guys, for political website season in the news of the dam, because this is just getting rolling. We're right about a year and a half or more out. So these are the first two. Marco Rubio got his site got dinged right when it launched. Same things just happened to Mr. Huckabee. And I think the idea is that there was some interesting explanation from the Mike Huckabee site in terms of it sort of rolling out slowly and looking at different stuff. Now, if I looked, let me see here. I pulled up, so MikeHuckabee.com and GT Metrics, not looking so good. Got a 70% in page speed, 67% from YSlow. So Steve Souders does not think highly of these guys. But they got some of the simple ones, right? They're not using compression. They not really leveraging the browser caching, a lot of images. So it's like any good political website that's about promotion and marketing and image. There's a lot of investment in the weight of the site being around not scaling your images or optimizing images. I also, but they are using a CDN. So I don't see them failing on the use of CDN issue.
Well, they have like a lot of dynamic content.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I read that wrong on YSlow. So sorry. YSlow says you got an F. So they're not even using a CDN. Now, this may be fair, given that it's very early in the political season here in the United States for the presidential election.
I'm going to go on record as saying, no, this is absolutely foolish. And it really has nothing to do with political party at this point.
No, no.
Except for the fact that this is your prime season for converting to revenue.
And it's first impression is a lasting impression, James. I mean, come on.
Yeah, so you come out the gate and you get this huge passion play and everyone wants to come to your site and the first thing you want as a politician is donate now. Well, hell, if the website is down, you're losing that passion element right there. You can't convert them to revenue because it's a different audience than who's going to pick up the phone and call or send in a check. So if you don't capture them right then and where the passion is the highest, the odds that they're going to come back and actually donate later when there's more in the field that they can choose from, you're going to have more issues.
And there's your sign, right? So obviously this guy didn't hire a strong enough staff to anticipate this. So I don't think I want him running my country.
Yeah, it's just not fair to that first impression. I will say the one thing that could be politically a ding to a conservative party in this, just from the demographics, is getting after the young kids that do everything online. And if you're going to invest with your campaign in having an online presence to compete, you know, the kids know a slow website from a good website, and they're going to know whether that'll reflect badly on your reputation. Like, hey, you know, your competitors will even throw mud in your face.
Just went back to what I said earlier. Yeah. You want somebody running the country who can't even run the website.
Well, yeah, that cuts a lot of different ways here, Howard.
I don't know, James.
That cuts across both parties in this one.
Build
a damn website, can't run the country.
James, you know me. I am an independent. And I laugh at both parties pretty equally.
Yep. Don't you have to be over the age of 35? You have to be a natural born citizen and you have to be able to code JavaScript, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And by
there was that Hello World incident in the code on the White House website.
On the White House website, yeah, stop it out.
They just had their API exposed to say Hello World. Hey, by the way, have you ever seen a narwhal?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah, that was the Obama team did very, very well, and the orca team really took it on the chin, if an orca has a chin, that is, which a narwhal has a big thing on its head, so it could, yeah.
It does. It's like a ball-peen hammerhead or something.
Exactly. So heads up, we're going to be covering a lot of the political websites, and just a shout out, if anyone needs help getting it right, if you don't trust your partners, and if you don't really think they're really have a robust, you want a review just to double check and make sure people are doing the right stuff, give us a call. Send us an email.
Mark, this is a great opportunity because not only have we got every member of the House, a third of the Senate, presidential, we have governors, we have state legislators, we have county officials, city officials. So all together, there's like probably 20,000 opportunities for a website to go.
So can we be the bipartisan scorekeepers?
No, we let the guys at Strange Loop do that. They do a nice job of the scorekeeping. We just like to berate them publicly for being stupid.
No, I just want to keep the score on who crash. I mean scorekeeping by counting who crashes more, the Dems or the Republicans.
Okay, yeah, we could do that.
Well, so, you know, just by numbers, because it's so weighted one way or the other, it's probably going to be the Republicans crashing more. Although it's possible the Green Party websites could crash because they're too busy smoking.
Could
All right, I think we're gonna have to keep this tally going here. I think news of the damned. We should do like a segment, or we should do 2 seconds.
Party roll up website crash. Yeah.
The lesson learned here is that really you have to think like an e-commerce website.
You do
on these announcements, and you have to be prepared for large point load coming in and being able to convert it. So if you have a shopping cart, which is what these models are built on for giving donations, make sure you don't have a default cart, that you're only allocating your cart at the point at which someone is wanting to give a donation, and that you convert them with as few steps as possible, because you're going to lose 50% at every step in the conversion.
Yeah, and here's another tip for you, straight from Steve Souders. Use a CDN.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, the CDN's not going to be able to collect the check. It's still going to have to go back to the
origin. That's okay. People aren't interested in giving a donation to the 503 air.
That is so true. That is so true.
I love that.
All right, James, we have a repeat offender, or something similar to a repeat offender, joining us.
So a couple of episodes ago, we had an exam. I think it was a college entrance examination in India that was failing on to deliver their results to the candidates who had taken the exam. So this year, it is the AP interim second year results declared in 2015. The website crashed. The candidates were unable to retrieve their results. And if I'm not mistaken, I think this happened last year too.
Yeah, yeah, it did. I think it is a repeat offender.
Yeah, the BIEAP declared the results of the second year exams, and then official website goes.
Right. Yeah, kaboom. Website goes down. And the BIEIO, that was old Mr.
McDonald.
Old McDonald, yeah, had a farm in India. BIEIPPO. That's, yeah. Nah. So yeah, sad for you.
On that farm, he had a web crash. E-I-E-I-O.
Okay, so these guys, now this is kind of interesting. When you think of these the results of this stuff getting put in, this is a Indian government website, so it's slightly different than some of the other private ones we've seen, James, that were run by, I think, more private institutions. This is an actual government site, the yes. CGG. So this is pretty serious, and again, much like a large bureaucratic government, that's just like, they're not always cutting edge. They're not on stuff. They're not. But we've given advice, maybe these exact same guys, time and time again, on if you've got something static in content, you can pre-roll or pre-prepare the results into a file format. You can secure those files. You could pre-distribute them across a server farm or even into the cloud and have people download them securely, have them password protected, whatever. However you do this, it's static content. It's not like people have to dynamically roll a session and dynamically interact with a catalog. They don't have to make a purchase and authenticate it and do all this kind of stuff.
You could have everything as an Acrobat file that is unlocked with their tax ID number or student ID number.
Sure, exactly. My tax folks here in the States, they'd like you to see your last five digits of your Social Security number, and away you go.
You know what the penance should be? They should have to go to Old McDonald's farm and clean up the cow poo.
Yeah, no, you know, I saw the Slumlord Millionaire, the opening sequence. It was disturbing.
Yeah.
So, James, I found another one to add to the list here. And then, of course, we're going to bookend the entire thing with the UK because they're so great. The last one, one of the last ones I found here stateside, because it's draft season. Tampa Bay Buccaneers website went kaboom. Wait a minute. Let me say this right. Boom went the website.
Well, you know, that's kind of appropriate because they are pirates and they are a seafaring nation down there with yes. the Buccaneers. Yes. And so you might not expect that they're up on the latest, you know, web technology because, you know, that's not seafaring stuff.
Yeah, it's not. But you can think of... what if there's a Pirate Bay software?
That's an illegal downloading site, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Now, if I look in the article here, you can see it's the Tampa Buccaneers, the official Buccaneers website. When Jameis Winston was drafted, they basically have a message, which is, you guys may find this interesting, please wait while your request is being processed. An unusually large number of visitors are accessing our site. You've been placed in line and will be granted access to the site in the order when you arrived. Do not hit the refresh or the back button, or you will lose your place in line.
That is the classical shopping cart waiting room, which means they have got on their site some sort of shopping cart solution, probably for shirts and koozies and who knows whatnot that they sell through the site. But that's the classical third-party add-on, manage the waiting room for an overloaded cart system.
Yeah. I will tell you that when if you've never been, and I have never been, to the Buccaneers website, the first thing that pops up at you is a sign up for the newsletter. For so all we know, this is right in your face. Everyone's like, oh, I'll sign up for the newsletter. And right along the side, Jameis Winston, cannons will fire.
Yep.
And you click on Jameis Winston.
I'm sure there.
And there's
sure
it. There. Oh. I'm sorry, guys. I hate to tell you this. But it clicks, once you click on the name Jameis Winston, it takes you to oss.ticketmaster.com.
No kidding.
And it takes you right to what is just the spinning Buccaneers flag. It hasn't loaded anything. It's just spinning and spinning and spinning. It's trying to buy. They're trying to sell me something. It's probably rolling in. Yeah, you're right, James. It's probably rolling some cart in the background. Details 15-fold. Yep. This is. It's a Ticketmaster app. Wow. And it's just spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning.
So have we not talked about Ticketmaster?
Ticketmaster
before?
In the UK. We've talked about. We haven't talked about them here in the States.
So this is the same problem that we saw with, I think it was Manchester United a couple years ago. We've seen with other sports teams when they have changes, is that they need to take that front page and make it completely static content, nothing dynamic at all, and put that classic story that everyone's looking for right on the front page as one link and have it 100% cacheable to get that load off the site.
But you know the teams aren't doing this. They're definitely sourcing this to a bigger house. I would think that the NFL would use all the same vendor to do all this stuff.
This is fine. They're building an app somewhere on Ticketmaster versus rolling the content themselves.
All I know is this is happening in Tampa. James Scurry, former colleague of ours from Mercury Interactive days, lives in Tampa. Mr. Scurry, go see the Buccaneers. Yeah. And do not stop at that place along the way to the Buccaneers. You know what I'm talking about. Go directly to the Buccaneers and talk to them.
I will say I just popped that Ticketmaster link into GT Metrics, and they actually get an A in page speed, but the site that rendered
is still
not wrong. So this could be somebody who's just doing client-side performance saying, oh, I got an A. It's 94%. Let's go. We're good to release. But they didn't do anything else because Wislow gave them a C. And it actually says quite in bold here, looks like you might not be using a CDN.
Imagine that.
So, hey, Ticketmaster, guys, we love you. We want you to succeed, but something's just not in the big scheme here. You know, these guys, it just things are blowing. I'm sure if you expect business is booming, that booming business should turn into revenue for your shareholders, and you should be a growing institution, and you'd be doing great. But this, you keep showing up behind these sites that crash, crash, crash all day long. I'm sorry. It's terrible.
Yeah, so if you ever see that waiting room, keep in mind that about 90% of the people that visit a site never buy anything, and that's a really bad engineering decision to hand you a default cart when there's only one chance in 10 that you're going to use it.
No, but I was going to say, even a good person knows, even if your really high priority is to monetize people with coming to the site, that monetization can't happen if the people can't get in the site. If you open up a lemonade stand and there's a line around the block, it's either the best lemonade for 100,000 miles, well, it's a lot, for 100 miles, or if it's average lemonade and there's lemonade right down the street, people are going to walk right down the street. I mean, they're just going to go to the next thing. This is the thing with the exclusive drafting of they're the only people that are going to have Mr. Winston on their team. So they have a little exclusivity, and that's one of the conditions that causes point load. Some kind of exclusive date or exclusive identity, a band, a celebrity, something of notoriety. This is why political sites go down. It's this exclusivity that causes point load that people aren't prepared for. All right, James, Let's wrap it up.
So lastly, Mark, tickets in the UK.
Oh, this one is unique, though, because we just had Ticketmaster in the States on. And this is a little bit different. Go ahead.
Pre-tickets in the UK.
What do you mean by
pre-ticket? What the hell is a pre-ticket?
Yeah.
Well, there's this thing called Tea in the Park.
Yeah.
Which I guess is some sort of concert.
It's a music festival in Scotland. Which means it's not crap. It's in Scotland. Other music festivals that are not in Scotland are crap.
So they play bagpipes?
Sure.
And I'm sure they throw the caber and wear the kilt as real men should.
Heavy metal bagpipes.
Oh, I've seen that. They have flames coming out of
them. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's pretty cool. So evidently this Tea in the Park is not, the tickets are not even for sale yet.
Yeah.
But there's a comment section on the website. And the comment section was taking so much load that part of the site went down.
Yeah. And this is the PKC, I think the site itself is called the Perth and Kinross Council site, which must be the municipality, I'm guessing, that sort of governs a festival.
Probably the venue for where the festival is going.
Yeah, sort of the regulations of, where you can park, where you can't park, where you can have 50 meters disposition from wetlands or protected areas or parks or things. So because it's such a huge festival, there's a lot of regulation of the locale and that kind of stuff. So they open up, for good reason, a very transparent comments website. James, I remember something similar in Oregon, Portland, was it? They opened up some comments about something, and the comments just overloaded the municipality's website.
I think it was related to the art tax.
It was the art tax, yeah. And it was we're thinking about putting this into play. Now, this Tea in the Park has been around for 20 years. It's been started in the 90s. So taking more comments seems like this is not a new thing. So it must just be – here's what I'm going to venture a guess at these guys, the Perth and Kinross. Perth and Kinross, let's say after 20 years, they said, well, it's about time we dusted off that crappy old website of ours and we maybe signed a contract with Deloitte or Accenture. And we're going to put together a brand new website for our municipality. It's $10 million budget for a two-year project. And we're going to bring in some kids to build all those snappy new JavaScript, whatever, Coolio kind of things. And they're going to set up that website, and it's going to be great. It's been the same event with the same comments and the same legal requirement for transparency in the open session to rant about what you do and do not want in the Tea in the Park thing. Only they built a new website. Oh, it's going to be great. And somebody said, well, do you remember that? Do we need to test this website for any point load? Is there any events around here that are really, really high throughput or things? No big deal. We'll just build you a website. This new JAX stuff is great, James. You're going to love it. And sure enough, thanks to PKC and your new project, your new website, kaboom goes the website.
Well, it probably doesn't help that they were reusing an old Next server from CERN from the dawn of the web. And, you're dealing with people who drink and compute in Scotland. You've got the built-in supply of scotch in the nation, and then you've got access to a computer. So arguably, alcohol plus computer, we must let our government know what we're thinking.
Yes. Now lest we, complain about all these things technically that's happening with the PKC, one might point out that really there is Scotland has demanded there be a 500-meter buffer zone to safeguard protected ospreys at the Tea in the Park's proposed Perthshire showground. So ultimately, all the people that are rushing this website are really interested in voicing their opinion in the protection of birds.
I could make a really, really not polite joke about members of the United Kingdom and their obsession with bird watching.
I don't understand. We had the owl cafe thing on. It's owl. They really love
but
the
then,
owls.
But
osprey are pretty cool birds.
They are pretty cool birds. I'll give them that.
Yeah, they are. They're sea eagles. So they're cool birds. But then I'm also reminded that James Bond as a character came off the author of a bird fielding guide. So
an ornithologist expertise. In fact, there was in one of the Pierce Brosnan movies, it was he was being an ornithologist in Cuba.
Yeah, that was the one with Halle Berry.
Halle Berry. That was actually one of the better Bonds, the modern Bonds I like. But of course, the Bird Welfare Charity said yesterday it will not object to the festival's highly contentious Strathallan Castle bid as long as the promoters, DF Concerts, the promoters of Tea in the Park, if they agree to comply with the strict criteria to minimize disruption for protected birds of prey at the site. And I'm thinking to myself, what if the birds of prey start picking off people in the crowd?
Awesome.
I'm just going to wonder how that
the birds.
And what about that caber toss, you know, a stray caber?
Yeah.
That's going to cover that distance pretty quickly.
Yeah, squawk done, dead bird. This is not going to end well, so I'm glad. But so thank you UK you don't even take to the tickets. It's even the comments before the tickets. And he added that the Perth and Kinross Council, Mike Cantlay, praised the Tea in the Park, saying it was vital for Scott's tourism and that he'll do everything, the Perth and Kinross Council will do everything they can to support the event. So, you know, at least it's a happy ending, you know, to what they're saying here. There you have it, the end of some ridiculous News of the Damned stories. James, thanks for coming up with these as well. Once again, we always say, you know, think there's never going to be another three or four of them, and we could always end up finding, oh, look, another one.
And actually, this was a really interesting mix.
It was. And so, shout out, thanks, Scott Moore sent in one. And then who sent us the other one? I don't know. I can't remember. Who sent in the other one? We had a couple different folks sent in different ones.
We'll find them and give them credit.
Oh, I don't know how to do that. I have to edit this stuff. Well, we'll give a casual thanks, of course, to our sponsors, Sosta and Smart Bear. Maybe they'll come do some interviews with us someday. That'd be kind of fun. You know, Howard, you're on the show for Sosta, but, you know, it's not the same as having, you know, somebody on the inside track. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
You bring them. You call up. That would be fun.
I'm just the
We right want Dan.
We want Dan. Want Get Bartow. Dan. Get him off his ass. You should have, yeah.
Surfboard.
Costa Rica somewhere. That sounds good. Yeah. Ticketmaster in the UK, Ticketmaster in the US. We just need to start calling these guys. that sounded like an osprey getting hit by a caber.
Too much.